This is Victoria Davis, a.k.a. The Victator.
And this is Sarah Klein Sundberg, a.k.a. Gail Manis.
And you're listening to Living and Loving in NYC. Woo! Welcome to whoever is listening live right now. Good luck. If you haven't heard us, you're going to hear some weird shit. As usual, I'm very excited. I'm excited for a few reasons. I'm really excited about the guests we have, who I'll introduce shortly. But not before doing the infamous Ghana report. We had 12 listeners in Ghana last month, which I think is down from like the 20 or 30 we had before, but I'm still willing to accept it. I feel like once we go below 5 listeners in Ghana, I get pretty freaked out. We also, I've mentioned before that we had listeners in France, but this time we had a lot of listeners in France. And again, I really don't understand how anyone finds us and wherever they are, but especially if they're in a different country. So thanks a lot for listening, France. Also, new nations, Macedonia, oddly. We have more listeners in Iraq, because I think I mentioned we have had some, which is always weird. And then Peru and Guatemala. So welcome to all the new listeners, wherever you are in the world. We appreciate it. And as always, email me at sluttyforalesbian@gmail.com and let me know, you know, how you found us. And that would be awesome. I don't have a lot of shout outs to give today, so I'm gonna skip that. However, I don't know if this is a shout out or a shout in. I guess if you're reversing a shout out. We got some weird fan mail. I'm going to call it fan mail because he was very enthusiastic about the show. I don't know for sure that this is how we discovered it, but as I mentioned in the last episode, we had a weird hit of listeners from redirected from Esquire. So I suspect that there were suddenly a bunch of like cisgendered straight dudes listening, which is like, I'm very happy for anyone to listen of any walk in life, but walk of life. But I am sometimes a little like, how are you going to feel about this? Because, you know, that's just not generally the perspective that we're coming from. And he sent us a rather lengthy email. He was saying he wanted to be on the show, which also, if you ever want to be on the show, email us. Half the time, we're probably not going to let you on the show, or more than half the time. But, you know, we're very interested in new people and new perspectives. But he was a therapist. So at first I was like, oh, that'd be interesting. We haven't had a therapist on. That could be an interesting perspective. But then he started saying a bunch of weird stuff. And he identified himself as a straight cisgender dude. And was talking about how much we really needed that perspective on the show. And again, I'm not saying we don't, but I found it a little arrogant just because, I mean, it's safe to say that that is the perspective of most of the mainstream conversation when it comes to sex and love. So it kind of felt presumptuous that we were really lacking in that department. And that was something we absolutely need to have. But that on its face still wasn't enough to like completely pissed me off. I was just starting, my eyebrows were kind of starting to raise up, and I was starting to think, where is he going with this? And then he said that one of the things that he liked about the show was our tolerance for well-intentioned ignorance. And those were his words verbatim. And just from a PSA, I'm going to do a PSA on that. And if you listen to our last episode, you might have heard us referencing times that we've fucked up. For instance, like I said, on our first episode, it was definitely irresponsible. We were talking about dating, the possibility of dating trans people, and it was completely irresponsible for us not to have a trans perspective on the show. Point is, we do fuck up, and we acknowledge that we fuck up, but I wouldn't call that well-intentioned ignorance. It just kind of struck me as a note that I've also heard from some other listeners that what they like about the show is that we're not PC. And that kind of triggers me a little bit, because I kind of automatically distrust the narrative that PC is always a bad thing. I think that the term PC has really been taken over from generally a conservative standpoint, and so it always sounds like trying to censor and trying to mute language. And that's I don't know that PC is still the term we want to use, because I feel like it has such a negative connotation. However, I mean, I think we all have a responsibility to take into account when someone says, when you say this, it hurts me, you have to take that seriously. And so I'm sometimes a little dismayed when I hear people say that what they like about us is that we don't care about that, because that's not true. We do care about that very much. It's just, like everyone else, we fuck up. And I think one of the best things about the show is that process that we're going through, and I think that everyone is going through, as the narrative develops in terms of all the different types of identities and perspectives. But yeah, no, anyone who says that we're just like not PC and just talking out of our asses and not caring who we offend, that's not true. I don't care if I offend some born again right wing like nut who's like, you know, sitting in a, like, you know, a bunker waiting for, you know, with all his guns to end the world. Yeah, I don't care if I offend that guy, but I do care if I offend some 15-year-old trans kid in Idaho who doesn't have anyone. So that's my little PSA on that. Miss, I'm going to introduce our guest in a second, but Miss Manus, do you have any comments about that email that we got from this gentleman?
I feel like you pretty much covered it. I agree that I'm happy for everybody, and that includes everybody listening to our show, but at the same time, being applauded for being applauded for kind of seemingly overlooking what could be construed as bigotry, basically, felt a little weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if bigotry is the right word, but certainly I like, you know, if you're ignorant because you just don't know yet, I guess that's fine, but there's also a kind of ignorance that comes from not wanting to see. I don't know. It was, I did feel that, we don't want to, we want everybody to try at the very least.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for. And yeah, I don't believe there's really anything in terms of, like, anything that I could seriously approve of that's called well-intentioned ignorance. I don't know. So I'm going to introduce our guest now, and I'm going to ask her how she feels about this before we get into our topic, which, by the way, if you're like, are they going to talk about this whole episode? We're not. Our topic is going to be sex and long-term relationships. I am going to first introduce our guest, Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hello.
I'm so happy to have you on. Lucy, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. I am a straight, cisgendered female, born and raised in New York. Have lived all over many, many, many different states, and I'm in my late 30s.
Yeah, and she is only our second token straight girl.
I just want to say that I love Lucy. We love Lucy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that pun.
We had to do that. And then Lucy. So the truth is that this is, like many guests that we've had on the show, Lucy is not her real name. We will not be saying that, and if I accidentally do, I'll bling it out like I have in previous episodes. But do you want to tell us why you chose Lucy?
Oh, well, Lucy is my go-to fake name for dudes. Like, when somebody asks me my name and I'm sort of trying to get out of being, like, hit on, and I don't really want to give up my personal information, that's been, like, my go-to name for many years.
And if we have any young people listening who haven't yet developed this craft of telling someone your fake name, go ahead and do that. That's a good thing. You know what I'm actually now thinking for a second is, remember back in the day, because we're all in our 30s here. So before, like, cell phones and, like, texting back was the thing, you know, you could just give someone a fake number really easily. Do you remember that? Whereas now I feel like when someone asks for your number, they're like, why don't you text it to me and then I'll have your, you text me and then I'll have your number. And that's, like, a lot harder.
Do you remember that song Strobe Light, Honey? I think there's, like, a whole, like, riff in it. It's like a hip hop song. It's not maybe, like, the nicest song, but there's, like, it's about this girl who, like, looks really good in the strobe lights, and then he meets her afterwards and she's not quite what he remembers. And so there's, like, this whole string of, like, fake numbers, like, he makes up, like, it's part of the rap. But anyway, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I was thinking of Ms. Fat Booty, where I feel like there's some line about a girl giving out fake name.
Huh. Yeah.
But yeah, it was, no, I mean, I used to give out fake numbers all the time, and I wondered sometimes, like, whose number that was. And yeah, fuck that. You can't do that anymore. I hate that shit when people are like, well, just like, you know, they're like standing there and like watching for your text to go through.
Yeah, I guess the best advice I could have in that situation would be to say my phone's dead or something like that.
I mean, you could also always just block people.
Yeah, you can. But, well, you know, but anyway, I could get it all
wait,
into
I
like.
I have feelings about this. Like, I think it's fucked up that we even have to. Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's been like for a long time. Like, the fact that I had to like come up with a fake name and couldn't just like no, just didn't mean no, or I didn't have like the confidence just to say like screw you, I'm not interested, and just start like that kind of pressure.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, I think that much like with faking orgasms, like. You shouldn't really do it, because at the end of the day, it's better to express what your actual needs are right now. So, you know, I would hope that the next time I'm in that situation, I would just be like, you know what? No, I'm not really comfortable with giving you my number. Thanks. Bye.
That's a fair point. But, you know, there are those rare occasions. I don't even know if they're rare. But, you know, you read about this, like someone getting killed or punched because they just they said no. And I'm not saying that means that you should absolutely give people your number or anything like that. But just like be vigilant and know just the fact that you have to be vigilant doesn't mean it's your fault that they're an asshole. Absolutely not. In case that's not clear. But yeah.
Well, let's start talking about sex and long-term relationships. Sorry, that was a very smooth segue. No.
I'm glad that Miss Maness is actually like making sure that we do this. Do you want to start off, Miss Maness?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was thinking about this on my way here, and I feel like we should start by discussing what we mean by long-term relationships a little bit and kind of define that term, because I feel like that's one of those things that people can mean different things when they're talking about, like, much like the word casual means different things to different people. So what are we talking about? What did you have in mind, Victator?
I had in mind any relationship longer than a year, which for I feel like that's a good baseline, because I know so many people who would, you know, who will be in relationships for 5-6 years. Then there are a lot of people who will be like the 2 or 3. But I feel like once you're the reason I consider a year to be the cutoff is because I think that's pretty much when most people are out of that initial honeymoon stage of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Most people, not all people. Maybe some people have that going on forever. I don't know. But I feel like that's like tends to be around when most people are like, wait a second, we're not boning 6 times a day anymore. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you think is an effective term for a long-term relationship, Lucy?
I think a year is definitely legit. But I also think that if it lasts a year, like there have been relationships where like guys I've dated that at 6 months I thought maybe it would be longer and then it wasn't, you know, but those were all when I was a lot younger. I think like a year definitely is like a good like cutoff point for like a serious relationship, especially if like, you know, you've met each other's like family and, you know, like all those things come into play. So
yeah, you've gone through all the holidays, mm-hmm. the different seasons. Yes. Like there's a lot of like, I think that's also, that's one. Do you feel like a year is appropriate, Ms. Maness?
Well, I guess part of why I was thinking about this was because I've had several relationships, many relationships that have lasted longer than a year in terms of me sleeping with somebody regularly for longer than a year. But not very many of those have been kind of conventional relationships that were like where we were like doing things socially together and meeting each other's families. And I feel like, is there a difference there? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like also when it comes to the sex, like there is a big difference between like, you know, living with somebody and being like very emotionally committed to them versus, oh, this is somebody I'm hooking up with 3 times a week. But, you know, kind of like on the sly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying. So like what is, I guess, like, is that a long term relationship?
Well, it's interesting. And I feel I'm, Lucy. OK, so there's a difference, I think, here between you, Miss Manus, and Lucy and myself, which is that there are a lot of differences.
Just say it between you and normal people. Okay.
No, that's not what I mean. But unless I could be wrong, about this with Lucy. I've only known her in one particular relationship, which I'm not gonna be like, you know, hey, asking all these detailed questions, but I will want to talk about where you guys are in your relationship.
Yeah, sure.
In a lot
mm-hmm.
of ways.
Sure.
But you know, for you and I, and I could be wrong about this, I feel like when we have feelings for someone, there gets to a point where we agree to be exclusive. Whereas Miss Manus, as we discussed, your relationships are not exclusive. That doesn't mean that they're not serious, of course, because like you have a spouse right now who's your serious, like, you know, situation. And then there are people who I'm not saying you don't care about, but like that it's more casual, I would say. So I feel like for those of us in the world that tend to lean towards exclusivity when feelings are involved, mm-hmm. I feel like not only is there a certain amount of time that goes by, but there's a point where we know that we kind of consider ourselves in a relationship when the exclusivity mark happens. Am I wrong?
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. And when it doesn't happen, then I'm pretty bummed. Like, yeah. Then, like, maybe I'll still, like, see the person and, like, want to, like, you know, keep hanging out with them. But then, like, I'm sad that it's not progressing. And then I feel like sort of, you know, like it's... that's hurtful. Then it's just like waiting for them to call, and it's like, oh, do I get to hang out with him this night? Like that kind of stuff,
right.
You know?
I mean, to clarify, like not all of those longer relationships have been since like after I decided I was going to be non-monogamous, and that was just kind of like how it was going to be with everybody from now on. Like sometimes, like in my experience of relationships, sometimes it just happens that way. Like, I don't know, like I guess when I was younger, I just often ended up in relationships where, like, you know, either I was kind of crushing out on the person and they were maybe, or they just, you know, were not feeling the same way about me, or I was, like, more ambivalent and it just, like, dragged on for a long time, but we weren't necessarily, like, you know, an item.
Well, that leads to, if we're going to go with definitions, that leads to a very... good question, which I'm surprised we haven't talked about on the show, since in the more recent years of your life, your relationships tend to be non-exclusive. How do you, like, go about, like, realizing... This sounds so stupid. I feel like I'm one of those men right now who's asking, how do you have sex as a lesbian? What do you define like that? I really do feel like I'm doing that. However, this is perhaps my well-intentioned ignorance. No, that's not a thing. But, like, I'm asking, like, how does that conversation go about when, like, you guys decide that, like, you know, you're a solid thing, if it's not exclusivity? Because for so many of us, it is. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that's a good thing, but that is just so many of us how we do it,
that's
you know?
With my spouse, who is really the only person I've ever had that conversation with, I think, we kind of decide, like, fairly early on in our dating, and we started out as a long distance relationship, so it's actually kind of crazy that we had that discussion early on, but fairly early on in us dating, we were both kind of mutually like, yeah, I'm not, like, looking, like, we want to be non-monogamous, but, like, we both felt like we weren't looking for, like, the big relationship anymore, because we'd found it. Like, that's sort of how it felt at the time. I don't know that was based on any particularly deep intellectual analysis. I think that was like totally a infatuated emotional thing that we did. But yeah, we did have that conversation kind of like, I, you know, like, you know, you like, it's you and I, and like, we're going to see other people, but like, we are a unit, you know? Yeah. I mean, but that's really the only time I attempted a relationship with somebody prior to that, you know, where it was kind of like, oh, we're like in a real relationship now. But that was after like 3 years of on and off hooking up while he had a girlfriend. And that didn't really work out. But we didn't really, so that was like a different situation. But yeah, my spouse and I are the only person I've ever really had that conversation with. And the only person I've really felt that way about as an adult, to be honest. Like, I've totally been super sprung on some other people, like, before meeting him, but I don't think it ever really... It had been a really long time at that point since I'd met somebody. I was like, yeah, this is a person I could seriously try to have a life with.
Lucy, you are currently married.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And how long have you and your husband, I assume husband is okay, not spouse?
Yeah, husband okay. is fine. Yep.
And how long have you guys been together as a unit and also
okay, wait, hold
as
on.
A married?
I was trying to think about this the other day. So we got married last September, and then I think we were together 3 years prior to that. So maybe we've been together almost 4 years.
Yeah,
I think,
that's definitely a long-term yeah. relationship, I would say. And in your past experience, how many long-term relationships would you say you've been in?
I have had...
That you would consider.
Yeah, prior to him, I had 3 others. I was sort of like a serial monogamist for a long time. And I just kept being in these like very lengthy relationships with like guys that were not the right fit,
yeah.
honestly, you know,
yeah.
Obviously, because I'm not with them. I'm yeah. married yeah. to somebody else. But yeah, so I've been in a bunch since
okay.
I was like 19, I think, was
yeah.
the first one.
So you have some experience with this.
Yes,
they
do.
One of the reasons I wanted you on. I guess I sort of foreshadowed part of the discussion by talking about the honeymoon phase and the non-honeymoon phase. But I'm curious, from your perspective, what is generally the first... like, do you notice any sort of specific patterns that happen in your relationships where the sex changes, for better or for worse, that you just sort of see as always being part of the course, or usually being part of the course?
Well, yeah, I mean, the obvious one that everybody knows is that, like, after, like, a length of time, like, you stop wanting to have as much sex. Like,
yeah.
sex just, like, you know, plummets off the cliff of, like, priorities. And with every relationship that I've been in, it's sort of been different.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not always because of like the way the relationship was working out. I think it had to do with maturity and like where I was in my life or where we were in our lives, like versus like discussions about sex when you're like 20 are very different than
right.
discussions about sex when you're in your 30s and
yeah.
like your confidence level about it. So, so back in like my very, very first relationship and my first love, yeah, we lived together and the sex just like disappeared. Like, I think there was like months that went by where we weren't sleeping together and I still wanted to have sex, but wasn't so much interested in having sex with him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And and I didn't know how to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't, and he was like nervous to talk about it too. And I don't know if he was even attracted to me either at that point, but there was no like Dan Savage to listen to at the time and sort of like work these things out and have an understanding about sexuality and that this happens and you have to like kind of make an effort and you have to like is what I've discovered over
yeah.
time is like you get so comfortable, there's not like that mystery, I guess, like you know, like you've had sex a million times, you know it's like what it's like, it's
mm-hmm.
not like there's going to be any like huge surprises, and so you have to sort of still be game, like still be into it and like and try new things and like talk about like what's working and what doesn't work and you know.
So. Can I ask you both something?
Mm-hmm.
And I should preface this by saying that this has been slightly different in different relationships for me. But like generally speaking, like I don't actually of course it gets different because like the newness is gone, you know, and the like super urgency might not be there, but I actually don't really lose interest all that much. Like, I mean, yeah, it's again, of course, like it's totally a different thing to have sex with somebody new versus somebody you've been sleeping with for a long time, but like I still want it. Like, am I weird?
No, so many of my friends, like, I actually, one of my best friends, I talk about it with all the time. She's like, I require in any relationship sex at least once a day. And I was like, oh my God, I don't think I could do that. I was like, I am like a like twice a week girl. And like, we had a really long discussion about this. Like, that is like what she
yeah.
needs and that's what satisfies her. Whereas I don't yeah. need as frequent.
I'm probably that person. Like, I've mm-hmm. honestly, I've never had that consistently. Womp womp. but that would be my ideal, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I always find this, and this was something that my old co-host, New Britt, and I discussed a lot, was in an ideal world, this is a question that's often on OkCupid that they ask you, and it helps you match people. In an ideal world, how often would you have sex? And I would say, in an ideal world, yeah, I'd have sex every day. However, I say that with the knowledge that I'm talking about an ideal world, a world where I don't have to work, yes. A world where, like, you know, I'm not having digestive problems, yep. A world where, like, you know, my PMS isn't making everything hurt. But so I see it as an ideal situation. However, I myself have been in enough long-term relationships to know that that's not something that I expect of myself, nor do I expect of other people. But what I'm really interested in is, and that we're talking about now, is when that kind of shuts off, when, like, and it's true, when you first start seeing someone, I think it's fair to say that there's, like, this thing where every time they look at you and every time they touch you, and it's like magic and it's all that, and it's a really wonderful, beautiful experience, like, no doubt. But, you know, that's not something that I know anyone who's ever said that, oh, that feeling lasts forever, that, like, you know, the second they, like, but...
Unless, well, the only time I experienced, like, where that, like, butterflies in your stomach, like, intensity, like, lasting way longer than I ever anticipated was in a relationship with a person who was really emotionally distant.
Oh!
You know, like, yes. And yes. Then it was, like, constant. Yeah. And it was because he was, like, completely withholding himself from me. And it was, oh, it was awful. I mean, no, honestly, it was terrible.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, I was in something with someone where I had this intense lust for her all the goddamn time, but that's because she treated me like shit. I barely ever saw her, and so even though we were, like, sort of involved for, like, over a year, but it was
and I think that when I was talking earlier about, like, what do we mean when we say long-term relationships, mm-hmm. that's part of why I said that, because I think that I've had a lot of relationships that have lasted longer than a year where I was never getting as much of that person as I wanted.
Right.
And so I was, like, always in this state of, like, lusting after them. Who knows? Maybe subconsciously I go after that because I like that lusty feeling. I have no idea. But I also think that, I think it's been my experience that, like, if I'm not getting as much, and this is not just about sex, I think. This is about attention and just, like, you know, I don't want to reduce it to only sex, but I think it's, like, if you're not getting as much time, as much attention, as much love as you want from that person, then you can get stuck in that kind of, like, lusting stage for much longer, which is not necessarily a good thing, maybe, but I think that's often me.
but I'm curious, since you, Lucy, have had this experience more than once of the, you know, the sex being, like, constant and then it slows down. And like you said, you kind of see yourself more as a twice a week girl.
Well, it ebbs and flows too. There's, you know, like, there's time, like, where everything gets, like, really busy and there's stress and there's a lot of stuff going on. And of course, sex sort of, like, becomes, like, a secondary, like, priority. And then, like, I think relationships are almost like waves. Like, you know, like, sometimes, like, you just ride up and you just see something about that person and it just makes you fall in love with them all over again.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Like, and then the sex becomes, like, really exciting again. Yeah. You know, like, I think that happens. I think I've only had a couple of, I think my marriage is not that, actually we've never had, like, a down, but I definitely, like, feel like it sort of builds on itself.
Right.
And sex changes.
Well, maybe you never had a down, but I mean, but do you guys still bone as much as you did in the first 6 months?
No, but you know what? It's not, I guess maybe in the first 6 months it was more. It was probably more like 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's
two
or three.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think that's part of the reason why it's not the only reason, but there's part of the reason why I wanted to marry this person was because I felt so confident in this relationship about being able to discuss sex, like, in the future, if it changes, like, if we have kids and, like, you know, which I know sex changes after kids from what I've heard, but not experienced. So, like, I felt like this is a person that I'll always be able to talk to about it. And that was, like, key.
No, I think that's so very important. And I find, and I guess what I was asking was whether or not in the past, or if you freaked out when that kind of change occurred. Because when I was younger and that started happening in my relationships, and I hadn't had enough relationships to know that happened, mm-hmm. my initial reaction was total panic. It was like, why aren't we banging all the time? Why don't I want to bang her all the time? Why doesn't she want to bang me all the time? Like, I wasn't even like mad at her because she didn't want to. It'd be like, why don't I want to? Something must be wrong with me.
Is this the future of all relationships? Exactly. Is it to be this like sterile routine and
kind of terror, which now that I've been through it a few times, it doesn't freak me out at all. And the kind of way I go about it now when it happens is like, I really enjoy having the conversation about it. And it also let like people I know that I much prefer quality sex to quantity sex. Like, I would so much rather have like sex 2-3 times a week that's like really awesome than do it every night and have it be perfunctory. Yes, where it's just totally like, well, agree. we kind of have to do this because it's like something that we do, and you know what I mean?
Quality is a huge thing. Huge, huge, huge thing that definitely has changed over all the different relationships mm-hmm. that I've had, where what I will put up with, I guess, has changed. Like, what I'm willing to accept in a partner has changed quite a bit. I think when I first started, when I was younger, having like these relationships, having like an orgasm, like I faked a lot. Like, I was with guys, and I mean, we were also inexperienced, and you know, maybe they just didn't know what to do, and I wasn't so good explaining because I was feeling shy about it, and like, I didn't want to say like, no, like, put your head between my legs and go there, like, I, you know, like yeah, like,
shove her head down, yeah.
You know, nice girls didn't do that, according to my mom, like, you know, so quality was something that later on, I think in my 30s, I finally realized that I needed to be much more vocal about and really like seek out. So yeah
I was gonna say too, I feel like one of the things that I mean, you know, I feel like you know we talk about sex and long-term relationships, and then immediately we assume that means like that it gets worse or something like that, but I feel like there's also I feel my experience has been that quality improves mm-hmm. immensely. I mean, it needs to be there from the start, but I think that like the sex I have with someone, once they know me and I know them and we feel comfortable together, is often much better in terms of orgasms and mm-hmm. such, and like a much more like well choreographed dance than whatever like hot fumblings I might have with somebody new. And also the talking thing is huge to me, and I feel like I didn't get that when I was younger. Like, I think when I was younger, if I tried to talk to someone about something once and they didn't hear me, then I was like, okay, well, that's it, I tried to talk about it, totally. Gotta break up now, like, this isn't working. But what I've learned as I've gotten older is, one, that I have to be much more direct about my needs. And again, not just talking about sexual needs here, but like much more direct about them than I think I have to be. That often if I say something once or twice, like, that isn't enough. Mm-hmm. But you actually have to say something sometimes many times in many different ways to somebody before it gets through. So yeah, like stating your needs clearly and just like talking about stuff like that, you can that's like a continuous process that you always have to do. And that in a long term relationship, ideally, you can get to a point where you're comfortable enough with somebody where you feel that you're not going to wreck everything by talking about something. And I think, I don't know, maybe that's my neurosis, but I often felt, you know, I still feel this way sometimes, but especially when I was younger, that you know, if I really spoke my mind about something, that would upset the other person.
Oh, totally.
And so much that they would go away. Like, like if I had needs, they wouldn't want me, you know?
It would scare them away.
Yeah.
What bullshit is that? Like, I look back on it and I'm like, I can't believe I thought that.
Yeah. Is that a thing that you feel too, Victor? Because you're nodding.
No, I definitely, it was a lot harder for me to talk about sex with partners when I was younger. But you know, I mean, there's also so much that you don't know about yourself when you're younger. Not to throw all you young listeners under the bus, but I mean, the thing is, like, there's so much that you learn. And so sometimes when you're young, not only are you afraid of being rejected for expressing your needs, but also, you know, you don't sometimes a lot of time know what you want, because sometimes it really takes being out there and doing it in order to really figure it out. Like, I mean, I think, I don't know, if I lived in like some other alternate universe where I had to like be with the first person I was with for the rest of my life, God, we may have never figured it out. Yeah. And But I completely agree about sex hopefully getting better in long-term relationships. And I feel like in most of my long-term relationships, it has gotten better. Again, less frequent, but better. But there's also I'm gonna get a little emotional right now, which is a little rare. But like, there's also something like when you've been with someone a long time and you trust someone so much, that not only is it just the choreographed dance that's getting better and the knowing each other's bodies is getting better, but also there's this closeness that kind of creates this setting where so many more things and feelings are possible. So even though it's not like, it's not like the first time they touch you where your whole arm feels like it's having an orgasm. It's like, but there is this thing that's happening when they touch you, and there's this, I'll say it, intimacy that kind of in some ways can actually be hell of a lot more exciting than those first few times. And that knowledge that, like, it's them and that you want them and that they want you and that, and all that stuff. Sorry, that was, like, really, like, sappy. And
no, it's so
I'm
true.
I'm also PMSing, and my boobs hurt. Just heads up to everyone.
So, like, piggyback on that, like, I have to say, like, I wondered if when I got married, like, if it would change, like, what it would change in the relationship. Yeah. I assumed it would change something, but I wasn't sure what. And I think one of the things that it did was it made that feeling, that, like, trust, like even more intense because we've committed to spending the rest of our lives together. So it was like this, like it's like, you're not going anywhere. You're stuck with me. And like, that's great though, because I'm glad. And so that trust is even stronger. And that, that blew my mind. Yeah. That was a cool feeling. Still is.
Miss Maine is, what are your thoughts on marriage and sex?
I don't know. I feel like my marriage is kind of atypical, so I'm not sure that I could give blanket statements on it. Do you mean what are my?
I'm not asking you to. Again, I'm not trying to pry into everyone's life here, but so I'm just trying to figure out for your situation, the kind of marriage you have. Do you think that the idea of marriage in some ways has made you more comfortable, or?
No. I think that I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to separate stuff, because I think that my spouse and I got married under somewhat like rushed and crazy circumstances. So there are a lot of things that changed in our lives when we got married. We moved in together after we got married, actually. Which I don't necessarily recommend. I just feel like there were a lot of factors that happened. For us, I think it definitely affected our sex lives negatively, I have to say. Although I feel like we've perhaps come back from that now. But I don't know that was about the marriage in and of itself. I think there were a bunch of outside stressors that were not necessarily related to that. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I would say in general, stress is probably one of my biggest lady boner killers. Mm-hmm. We talked, Miss Manus and I recently recorded a bonus episode with a friend that we're going to release at a date that we haven't decided yet. But we talked a lot about times we wanted to have sex and times we didn't want to have sex. I don't think we went too much into stress, but when I'm stressed out, some people, when they're stressed, use sex as a release.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't do that. When I'm like really stressed out, I'm like completely in my own head and completely panicked. And I've found that sometimes, you know, certainly some of those stressors can be things related to a relationship. I've lived with a few people that I've dated, and, you know, the moving situation is never something that gets my libido going at all. Maybe for some people it is, but I panic when I move, even if I'm moving on my own, let alone if I'm moving in or out of someone else. That sounded weird. Moving in and out of someone else. Totally different thing. But or if I'm panicked about work or income or something like that, no, I definitely don't, I don't want to do it. And I don't know, it's, I guess I guess I'm sort of fascinated by the fact that so many people who I consider sexual beings have these moments in their head where they just legitimately don't want to have sex. And it's kind of, it's fascinating how suddenly something that you love doing so much, and here I am, I have a podcast about sex, and something I love talking about, where there can be these moments where the idea is like the absolute last thing that I want to do. And that generally is when stress is involved.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was alluding to. Before when I said that, you know, there were like tons of stressors and that impacted our sex life, I think I'm one of not in all relationships, but most of the time, I think I'm somebody who deals with stress by having sex or like by doing stuff in general. I think if I'm stressed or if I'm not like whatever, if my mental health is not ideal, I tend to throw myself into stuff, be it sex or exercise or work. Like that's a way for me to just kind of forget where my head's at and feel better. My spouse is not one of those people. So I think that like for us, like that has been a thing that we've, you know, had to like kind of negotiate. But I was in a relationship, I should say, my longest relationship ever, actually, with somebody where those roles were kind of reversed, not in terms of stress, but in terms of me losing interest, not in sex, but in sex with them, kind of, with her.
Yeah,
it
was yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, there may be people who know both of us who listen to this show, so I don't want to get too explicit, but yeah, and I think that I was very young, and it was my first serious relationship, so I didn't really know how to navigate that, you know, even really talk about what, I mean, I did talk about what I wanted and what would be hot to me, and felt rejected, but I think that if I'd been older, if I'd been who I am today, we might have been able to work through that better. But long story short, it ended up a situation where we basically would not have sex for like weeks on end. Yeah, which I'm not proud of.
You're not proud of? So you have shame about this?
No, I don't have shame about it. I feel like I feel like maybe I should have been more honest about the fact that it wasn't working for me and I should have left earlier, maybe. Like, I'm not ashamed of not wanting to have sex, but I'm ashamed of being less direct about it than I probably should have been. I feel like it's a really sucky thing for somebody to go around wanting you in a way that you don't want them. I don't think this was all my fault by any stretch of imagination, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like I would have hopefully dealt with it better. Instead of, like, I feel like there was a good year that went by where our relationship wasn't really working anymore, and I was kind of too chicken shit to just break up.
Oh, I've definitely had the chicken shit to break up for a variety of reasons, but that's true. I mean, I do feel like, again, a declining sex life isn't necessarily a sign that your relationship is over. There's a lot of reasons why that could be the case, especially you've just had children. There's a lot mm-hmm. of things. However, I would say that in some of my relationships, that was probably the strongest indicator where I was like, oh, I really don't want to phone you anymore. And then I was still in the relationship, and yeah, I mean, and that wasn't fair to either of us.
I want to be clear that that wasn't the reason we broke up.
Yeah.
Like, there were many other more pressing reasons why the relationship wasn't working, but yeah, I still just think that's kind of shitty. And conversely, I've been in relationships that lasted way longer than they should have because I just couldn't stop fucking the damn person. Anyway.
Again, those lusty people who you treat you like shit.
Yep. I actually want to hear about times that you don't want to have sex.
Well, what you were So I was just thinking about that first relationship I was in, my first love. We didn't have sex sometimes for months. And it was so bad that my best friend got me for my, I think it was my 21st birthday, a vibrator. Like, I was very like horny and sexual and like wanting to have sex, but just not with that person anymore. And because he, well, this brings me back to like quality. Like we were just not compatible. Like our chemistry was definitely off. Like there was just no chemistry whatsoever. And it took me a really long time to understand that doesn't mean that like either one of you are bad or it's like a horrible relationship. It's just like, it's just something that is preventing that relationship from moving forward. You know what I mean? It's like chemistry, I think, is like a huge part for me, at least when I'm looking for a partner like that, like has always been like in later years when I kind of figured out that was the thing that like that I could love somebody and be, like, really care about them and be in a relationship with them, like that first relationship that I had. But the chemistry was off. So it was never really going to succeed. And so making sure that the chemistry was right. And then that like with the right person, like my marriage today. But wait, hold on. I'm not really answering your question. What was
we encourage tangents. that was good.
Yeah. But yeah, like I mean, but not like not being like bad sex in a relationship and not like voicing it and like kind of holding that in for a really long time. Yeah, I've felt guilt and like that was like that I've done that and I shouldn't have in the past. Definitely.
Did you, so when you got this vibrator,
the octopussy, it was so great.
Oh, it was called an octopussy?
Yeah, it was purple.
If
my friend is listening, she's going to die.
Was there like eight little like prong studs?
No, it just
looked
like an octopus, like kind of attached to like a dildo. It was, I don't know.
That's funny because like I was actually just telling someone that I was going to design an octopus dildo, but apparently it's been done. But so did you then start using that vibrator a lot?
All the time, like every day. Yeah. That was what was like, you know, like that was like, and I wasn't sleeping with him and I was using it with waterproof. So
yeah, no, that's something that I feel like I've heard of happening with other people and has happened a couple of times in myself. And for the record, no, I don't think masturbating is cheating, that you're an asshole if you do. But there were times in relationships of mine where they were seriously on the decline. And I would be masturbating, the other person would be masturbating, and sometimes I would just feel like we were masturbating, like I was masturbating in the bedroom, and she was masturbating in the bathroom, and I'd just be like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, this is, you know, so you have your full right to masturbate on your own, but if you guys aren't really boning that much and only masturbating, that's...
A sign, at least in my relationship.
But in this case, it wasn't that we were sexually incompatible, I just think that there was so much anger and resentment that like just the idea of fucking just seemed like a bad, bad idea.
I'm going to stay away from talking about anecdotes about masturbating in relationships. Instead, I'm going to say, can we talk about masturbating in relationships? Because when you live with somebody, because I've really struggled to find time for it. And like, you know what I'm saying?
Morning shower.
I can't come standing up in the shower. There's just no way.
Can you not come standing up in general? Or you just can't come standing up in the shower.
I think that my legs buckle when I start to come, and in any case,
like leaning against the wall.
maybe I need to experiment with that. It's difficult for me.
Well, what about doing the waterfall in the bath?
Oh, I've, you know what? Like when I was a young teenager a tween maybe even, like, and I kind of read about that in some women's magazine or something, I was like, ooh, I gotta try that. But it doesn't really do it for me. I'm not like a water orgasm girl.
Oh, see, that was my very first orgasm, was in the shower. And so I absolutely like have the best orgasms when I'm like with a partner in the bath or by myself.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'm curious though. When you are sexually satisfied in a relationship, as it sounds like you are in your marriage, do you still masturbate or?
Yeah. I mean, not as much as like when I'm single, obviously, but like if he's out of town, like, yeah. or if I'm out of town, like, there was, like, a period where I was gone for, like, 3.5 weeks. It's like, hell yeah. Like,
licking that bean.
But I don't, it's not, like, a priority, like, the way it was when I was single, you know? Like, it's not something that I think about very often. But if I'm, like, going to be by myself for a day or two, I'm like, why not?
Well, the interesting thing for me is, I was telling someone this recently. I told someone this recently is because everyone I know listens, and then I'm like, oh, sorry, this is gonna be boring for you, who I was talking to last week. But I actually masturbate more when I'm in relationships than when I'm single, because I'm, especially if it's like in the early stages, because I'm so sexually awake. Whereas if I'm single, especially if I'm busy, I won't even think about it half the time. But if I'm like in a place where I'm having really good sex, then I'll be like home later, and then I'll be thinking about the sex that I had last night, and then I'll be, but again, right now, I don't live with anyone right now, so it's a little easier to masturbate to, but it's true, now that I'm thinking about it, when I've lived with people, it's just been the shower. Just been straight shower.
Yeah, I mean, I too find that the more sex I have, the more I want, pretty much. But also I feel that there's kind of a raw need for orgasm that I have that could be satisfied by either sex with a person or sex with a person I love, namely me. But I also think that no matter how much I masturbate, I still have a strong need to, like, be sexual with my partner. Even, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just about having orgasms. And I could masturbate twice a day, like, every day all week, and I would still want to have sex. Not necessarily every day, but, like, I would still want to have sex, like,
absolutely,
many times a week with my spouse.
I like to... Okay, so this is maybe, like, me, like, my weird, like, preference or kink. I like to sort of, like, save it up. Like, my orgasms, So, like, my orgasms with, like, a partner are much more intense if I haven't masturbated. Like, you know what I mean?
It's absolutely true.
So I sort of enjoy that, like, build-up and then, the release. But that's...
Yeah, but I guess for me it's more like, I think I would have like a 24-hour like reset button in that sense. So like if I'm not gonna see them, but again, you both live with people, well, sort of. Anyway, but I mean you do, but you don't live together right now. I'm talking to Miss Manus. They will live together again soon. It's a whole other story. But if I'm like home alone one night, I can do a 24-hour. It's not gonna really bring it down if I bang them the next day. But it's true. If I've come a few hours before, it might be a little bit lower. However, there is, sometimes I feel like my orgasms are stronger when I've had like a few smaller ones, and then I can have a bigger one.
Huh.
But again, that's more of a, that's more in close proximity, I feel.
So wait, I have a question, because have either of you, I'm going to guess most people have, but I haven't, had multiple orgasms in one, like, go. Like one right after another. Like, one moment. See, I've never experienced that.
That's one of those terms where I'm like, I'm not quite sure what it means. Like, have I had, like, longer orgasms? Yes. Have I had orgasms? Have I had sex where, like, I've had an orgasm and then it's kind of crusted and then, like... you know, a little while later, like, I've kind of, like, had a little one again and then a little one again, like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that they tend to be kind of varied. I don't know if that's what's meant by multiple orgasms. Ever since I first heard the word, I've tried to figure out what it really means, and I'm still not sure.
I think you're right. I don't think anyone is really sure what that means. It means like, does it mean like one orgasm and then another one 5 minutes later, or like whatever? But I mean, I've definitely,
is it just a male fantasy? Like, is it just?
Oh no! I think it's a real thing. I just think that the definition really varies. And I mean, I think the reason the term multiple orgasms exists when it refers to women is because the refractory period is so much shorter. So that's what's why it's like that's what doctors will say, women can have multiple orgasms, men can't. Whereas it's not that like men can't have two orgasms in one like session; it just takes a minute. But I have had orgasms that where it's like been like, you know, one after another, where it's like, but it's just kind of like, oh, and then, oh, and, but the thing is, I would say, and we did do an orgasms episode, so apologies to anyone who's heard this before, but I will say that, like, if, when I've had multiple orgasms by that definition of one after another, they're not necessarily as strong. Whereas like if I have like one big orgasm, then it's going to take me a little bit longer to have another. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the definition varies, and I think, you know, the goal is just to have a really good fucking time.
Yeah,
That said, there is another show coming on Facebook at Face K-Piss. There we go. Soon, because I'm looking at Facebook while I'm talking about K-Piss. So we should probably actually close it down. And also, it sounds like you have some painting to do.
Lucy? Oh, I don't even want to think about that. Okay.
So she just bought a house, which, and that's really awesome. So we should probably shut it down.
Talk about stress.
I'm sure. Major boning tonight. I actually can't think about your painting, or I'm not gonna have sex tonight. I'm like, I can't because Lucy's painting tonight. I'm just like really worried about it. Does anyone have any closing remarks?
Talk to each other.
Yeah, talk to your fucking partner.
Yeah, communication is key, as always.
And it is possible to have good sex in relationships.
It is,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, don't give up hope.
It's out there.
Yeah. All right, bye, people.
Bye.